The Majority Report, where every day is casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. Even Saturday and Sunday are casual. Sorry, Jesus. So don't forget your denim hip huggers. Don't forget your bootcut jeans. We're not afraid of dungarees on the Majority Report.
It is Friday, March 11th, 2011. My name is Sam Cedar, and this is the Majority Report, and we are not broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. In fact, I am live on tape as we speak, because as we speak, and by we, I mean, of course, me, I am actually on an AirTran plane headed towards Milwaukee, Wisconsin, en route to Madison, Wisconsin, because of the enormous generosity that you guys showed yesterday. And you laid it down, and I got on a plane. And I will be sending you dispatches via live video from my iPhone. Recorded video. I will be posting audio as well, photographs all through the weekend at majority.fm. Go there and you'll get all the information as to where everything will be. Also follow our Twitter feed at majority.fm, and you will know when I'm going live with video. And I thank you. I'm very excited. I'm sitting on an airplane right now. I'm probably tweeting as you listen to this. So you can check out Majority FM for any tweets that I am tweeting. And now for you, in lieu of my jibber jabber, I have a great interview. I think it's a great interview. The movie is absolutely great. And of course, I'm talking about Wasteland. And I have an interview with the director, Lucy Walker. This was an Academy Award-nominated documentary. It's absolutely fascinating. I cannot recommend you watch this film more. And you will hear the passion in the voice of the director. And I don't know that it's actually possible in talking about the film to do the film justice, because it is so many different things going on. So listen to the interview, watch the film, follow my reports from Wisconsin. I'll bring some back on Monday as well. But if you want some live video and see what I'm doing, check out majority.fm. Thank you again to all of you who donated or joined to help send me there. I'm just completely blown away by it. And again, thanks very much, and have a great weekend. Oh, and I should also add, I got to say that Chris Rosen's suggestion last week of seeing 127 Hours, it was a little bit gory in some moments, but it really was also, it was a good movie. I mean, it's not like Wasteland, but it was a very good movie. So, Chris Rosen, if you're out there, kudos. You got one right. I mean, law of averages would say that would happen. But okay, so enjoy this interview. So on the phone with me is Lucy Walker. She is the director of the Academy Award-nominated documentary Wasteland. She formerly directed Devil's Playground, Blindsight, and Countdown to Zero. Lucy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So I want to. First off, let me tell you that I watched Wasteland the other night, and I thought it was just an amazing film, both beautiful and poignant, and a great story. And I thought it was fantastic. And I got to get that out of the way. I'm a little biased in this interview.
Well, I'm a little biased too. I feel the same way. And it sort of, I guess you're not supposed to say that if you made the film, but lots of us made the film. But I think we all feel the same way, and we feel super proud of it, and super excited to share it with the world, because it's full of not messages exactly, but it's just full of food for thought that I think feels really good and important and positive to share. So I must say we're tremendously proud on Team Wasteland, and thank you for saying that, because we agree with you.
Well, all right, so tell us the story. You follow an artist, Vic Muniz, and I guess maybe you didn't even necessarily follow him, but tell us, as much as almost collaborate with him in some respects, but tell me the story. Who is Vic, and where did this film take us?
Sure. Vic is was born very poor in Brazil, and through a crazy set of circumstances, got shot in the leg and got some money because he got shot in the leg by a rich guy, and also was a very talented young man. And so when we meet him, he's a very successful, very wealthy art photographer based in New York. But he's sort of having a mid-career crisis and wondering, is art really a good thing in the world, and how does it connect with real people, and can art help people? Can it transform lives? And he sets himself this challenge. Can art transform the lives of people who've never heard of art, who don't deal with it at all, and who are, in fact, working in a garbage dump, recycling by hand? They're sifting through the garbage, picking out the aluminum, the plastics, the paper, and selling them. And so he sets himself this challenge to use the garbage and the recycling and to turn it into art, to see if he can transform lives. And he sets off to the largest landfill in the world, which is outside of Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. And sort of scared at the people he might meet and sort of daunted, he goes and I follow. And then we meet these people who are incredibly surprising. You'd think, I certainly must confess that I thought that the people who worked in a garbage dump might be difficult to deal with. They might have criminal backgrounds or mental health problems. They might be, a challenge just to interact with. And what was very surprising is that the people were sort of the coolest people I'd ever met. It turns out that these people are real environmental heroes who are sort of doing the dirty job for the rest of us and have had horribly difficult life circumstances. They've been orphaned or are coping with some really challenging domestic violence type situations. And their only option was to go and work in the garbage dump. But or I guess they could have been, turned to sex work or drug trafficking or begging or robbing. But the people that chose to go to the landfill turn out to be these incredibly inspiring, brilliant, resilient, resourceful, incredibly charming and impressive characters who it's a real honor to sort of meet and understand. And then and the artist goes on a journey with them that ultimately does bring, I think, a lot of success and positivity, and throws a really great spotlight on these people. So there's just a lot in there.
Yeah, and there's a tremendous amount of themes, but I just want to stop you. For people who have not seen the film yet, this garbage dump, it's almost like a small town. I mean, in fact, it's bigger than a lot of small towns. There's somewhere around like 4,000 people who actually live in this landfill. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's actually more. Even I think between 3,000 and 5,000 people that work there, and with their dependents, that's a community of about 15,000 people.
Wow, and so it's a fascinating look into an artistic process, and also there's a strong theme of, it's apropos at this time with a lot of things that we've been talking about in this program, but there's one of the characters who has organized essentially a union of sorts. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Sort of the hero of the film is a young man who has been working in the garbage since the age of 11, but he gets an idea to improve the life in the community by organizing an association to negotiate for better conditions and also to try and advocate for improvements in recycling techniques and also just sort of safety and sort of stability of the costs, because all the costs of the different things that they're recycling, it's almost like a little stock exchange. They're very variable, and they're also very vulnerable to middlemen taking advantage and so on. So it was a very vulnerable group when they were working alone, and also there was lots and lots of community issues. This is a community without paved roads, without sewage, without daycare, without computer access, without skills training, without anything. I mean, this was, there's even stuff, the small details, which I really tried to include in the film and not cut out. There's a small detail, for example, that there's a young woman who's 18 and has two children and is pregnant with her third. And it's a very, very vulnerable young woman. You can't imagine what she's sort of faced down. She's been working in the garbage dump since the age of 6, and her mother escaped from domestic violence. And she says that her rent is the equivalent of $9 if she pays by Friday, but 13 if she doesn't pay till Monday. And there's sort of small details like that. There's another detail, which is a big, big detail, a big piece of the story, when everyone gets held up at gunpoint and $6,000 of everyone's wages gets stolen for the week. And these are people who, don't have, obviously, savings to fall back on if they lose. And it's a complete catastrophe. And at this point, our hero, this guy, actually burst into tears. And generally, he's a very positive chap. So at the age of 11, he's been working the garbage. And he then got this idea that he should improve lives for his community by forming an association. And when we meet him at the beginning, he's trying to stage a protest outside the mayor's office, because the mayor's office was supposed to be improving recycling techniques and in fact was selling off the land. But people are still sort of laughing at him. He's not taken, he's doing some work, but he's still struggling. And during the course of the film, you can see him really, go from strength to strength as a leader. We also learn that he picked out this book from the garbage, Machiavelli's The Prince. He's this kind of incredibly impressive guy who, really is self-taught. And he taught himself leadership using this book and really gets along well with Vic, the artist, and is really, isn't convinced that the project's, he's an open-minded guy, but he doesn't really believe the project's going anywhere. But by the end, I think that, so much good has been achieved through the film and all the profits have been plowed back through the association. And not all, actually, some have gone to the individuals, but all the money raised has gone either to the individuals or to the association. I think we brought down two trucks, and he's involved in now not just the sort of local movement for recycling, but also the national in Brazil and also international movement, because it turns out, I didn't know this when I began the project, that 1% of the world's urban population is involved in informal recycling. And of course, in Brazil, although it's very environmentally progressive in certain ways, and the Amazon forest is there, and a lot of Brazilians are very sensitive to environmental concerns, there's also actually very little sort of done thus far about recycling. And these are people who don't oppose modernizing recycling, even though that's going to change their job description a lot. If recyclables are pulled out and separated, when they're picked up from people's houses, that's going to mean that these people aren't going to have a job picking through in the landfill. But they're not saying that we shouldn't change that. They're actually really the champions for environmental, sort of more progressive environmental recycling and waste tactics, even though that's going to change their job description quite a bit. They're real environmental heroes and stewards and they sort of give you lectures about recycling you'll never forget. This one older man, Volta, in particular, is incredible. impressive. And inspiring.
He's the one who said 99 is not 100.
Exactly. That's his sort of catchphrase. And it's maybe if you haven't seen the film, it takes a little bit of explaining because it's a funny thing to say. 99 is not 100. But
every little bit counts, maybe, essentially.
Every little bit counts. Yeah, and every little bit makes all the difference. Every can that you recycle, everything that we do as human beings makes all the difference. And he is someone that he's been working in the garbage since the age of for 26 years. I'm not quite sure how old. I think he was in his 60s. He actually sadly passes away during the course of making the movie. But he's been working there for 26 years, and he is the sort of Yoda or the guru. He cheers everybody on. He has these great catchphrases, and you can tell how discouraging or, you know, gross it can be if it rains. Oh my goodness! Or you just, you know, right. You don't want to have a bad day in a garbage dump. It's a really, really, really challenging environment to work in. And he has these great, these great things that he says that really keeps people inspired and working. And he's an absolute sort of treasure in this community and so impressive because of it. I sort of remember what he says every day, I must say.
Well, you know, the amazing thing is that what you've just described is still just one element of the film. There's so many things that are going on in this, and I want to talk about the process of the actual creation of this art project. It culminates in these massive images being made of these subjects, which are both the subjects of the photographs and the documentary in some respect. But tell me, how did you end up getting involved with this project with Vic? Because it feels almost like it was not a situation where you hopped along for the ride, but that in some ways that you were also driving the process in a way.
What's cool? I know what you mean, because what's amazing and really, I think, really makes things wonderful for the audience is that because the camera is there from the very beginning, the camera is there with the artist when he's figuring out what he wants to do. It's there when he's looking at Google Earth and trying to imagine what it's like before he's ever been there, and he's talking about what these people might be like. And then, of course, when you get on the plane and meet the people, you get this big reveal that they're much different than what he thought. And I think that the audience really takes that journey with him. And
the subjects of the photographs, on some level, see the camera, and the camera becomes part of their story in terms of Vic's attempt to affect their lives. I mean, you can almost see their own self-confidence rise when they see a camera crew there, because these are people who society has paid no attention to.
It's true. I think that, and I'm not naive about the fact that when you take a film crew to a place, you know, you are changing everything. So I'm always aware of the impact that you are having when you decide to make a documentary film, or when you show up in every moment, because your presence is changing everything. But how the project began, I think that if I think about it, I think we were changing everything, because I was talking to Vic about how we might make a documentary film. We had a fabulous producer, and we had Vic and I, who had tremendous respect and for each other's work. And we were talking about how we might make a film, and I had previously 10 years ago visited a landfill. I had a friend when I was at NYU. I met somebody through the triathlon club who taught a really interesting course in garbage, crazily, a sort of graduate interdisciplinary subject. And I thought, well, that's so intriguing. I wonder what that's about. And I started going to her seminar to watch films. And I sat in and I went on a visit to a landfill. And I was really, really impressed with her course. And this experience of being in this place and thinking, oh my goodness, I thought I was environmentally conscious, but I've not thought enough about the fact that my waste sits around. You really have to, go to a landfill to somehow be really viscerally that, you know, it, you're really confronted with this terrible idea that, this stuff that you use and throw away so easily actually just then sits there. There's nothing easy about, you know, the fact that this stuff is always going to exist and needs to be quite well taken care of in our lovely landfills. So I had this very strong realization, and also it was a very cinematic environment. There were millions of plastic bags and birds, and it was very landscaped and strange with all these methane pipes sticking up at regular intervals. It was a very, very strange environment. And I thought to myself, as a filmmaker, wow, that would be really interesting. Because I think that a lot of times as a filmmaker, you're looking to show people things that they haven't seen before and things that are powerful. So that checked both those boxes, and I sort of filed that away. And then later, I guess it's 5 years ago now, when I was talking to Vic about how he might make a film. And Vic is an artist who's very brilliant and uses unusual materials. He's famous for taking things like peanut butter and jelly and making a Mona Lisa, or he'll take dirt, or he'll take the holes you punch with a hole puncher, or he'll take even condensation trails from airplanes and do drawings with airplane trails in the sky of a cloud. But he's very witty and very sort of inventive with using these unusual materials. And I really like this stuff he'd done with junk. So at one point I said, oh, have you ever thought about working with garbage? Knowing what an amazing material it would be. And he said yes, he'd wanted to do a project in garbage, but it was very dangerous working, especially in Brazil in the landfills. And I said, ah, but that would make a movie. We got very excited about it. And I said, you know, all you need to do is just make sure that we can film everything, including, you know, don't even talk to your wife. Don't even talk to your assistant. You know, don't even look at Google Earth until we get the camera and come back and start filming. And so that's exactly what happened. And so, you know, it was definitely not a case where he was doing that already and then said, hey, do you want to make a movie? And what's great about that situation was that it wasn't staged or faked. It was exactly as it happened, but we were able to capture it from the real beginning, and the audience could take the entire journey, I think.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And let me ask you this. You know, when he set out to do this project, and it was because he had a desire, as he articulated in the film, was to, and I think you just mentioned earlier, was that he wanted to affect the lives of these people, and for the better. And the film is all about the process of these people changing in some respect. At the end of it, and beyond the film, I mean, I imagine you've had many conversations with him about it. Does he feel like he achieved that goal?
I think that he did. I'm a tough cookie and probably quite annoying, because I hate making grand sweeping statements. I think actually if I made grand sweeping, exaggerated, easy statements, I'd be a terrible, terrible filmmaker. I'm not. I'm a real examiner. You know, I really like look at things closely and turn them upside down and try to really, really understand things so that I can make sure that when I'm making a film, the audience can really trust that it's been really well thought through. It's been really well, you know, our team has just been really racking their brains to try and, you know, understand and film a situation to the very best of our ability so that audiences can really trust what they're seeing on film and therefore really, you know, let it affect them deeply. And so whenever I think about this project, I still keep waiting for the other shoe to drop, if you like. I still keep thinking, well, you know, are we doing harm? Are we, you know, where did we fail? What are the challenges? And I must say that partly because it's an absolute tribute to the people in the movie. I mean, these are people who are so positive and so brilliant and so you know, gracious that they feel absolutely as Vic intended, almost word for word. And that's another thing about being able to film the beginning of the process. Some of the things that Vic articulates at the very, very beginning, at the very end, is exactly what people are reporting, almost word for word, without anybody knowing what he was trying to do. They say things like, now I can see myself. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning, Vic had said, maybe if we made portraits, people would just be able to see their lives from a different perspective. They may even get a better vantage point on their lives, and that might help them. And at the very end, that's exactly what they report. And another woman says, I can't believe he uses the exact same material that we use every day, and here we are in the Museum of Art, And that's exactly what Vic said, challenged himself to do at the beginning. He said, I want to take what they work with it every day and not just anything. I mean, that stuff is garbage, and turn it into art. And so I think that the art project, and it's also, by the way, these portraits are beautiful and brilliant, and everyone, I think, feels really ennobled and honored and excited and proud and all those good things. And it's also true that lots of money has been raised, both through the sales of the individual portraits and also through, we've been donating many of our film prizes. We've been donating. We had a fantastic charity auction at our UK premiere just a couple of weeks ago, where Vic donated three more portraits, different portraits that weren't in the original series, to raise another, I believe it was something like $360,000 US more. And so it's like a lot of great stuff has been achieved for this community. Nobody's been corrupted. Nobody's been, I don't know, there hasn't been any sort of downside. In fact, I think that the community and the leadership with Chow, who really, I can't say enough good things about. I mean, he is somebody who gets my vote for the next president of Brazil, and is just such a charming, impressive, inspiring figure, because he just had this idea, I want to make life better, and he organized and achieved that. And it goes on, apparently, and this is unconfirmed, when President Obama visits Brazil in a month, there's a rumor that he might even want to meet this guy. And again, given that this guy's been working at a garbage dump since the age of 11, this is a pretty major big deal. And I must say that with the Oscars, we just got nominated for an Oscar, which was a tremendous honor. But the best thing about it for me was I was able to take as my date this guy, Chow. It's his name. It's a difficult Portuguese name, Chow, but that's his name. So Chow was my date for the Oscars, and nothing made me happier. Whenever I got too stressed out about the dress and the, all the kerfuffle that comes along with the Oscars, the fact that, it would come back to the idea that we were able to bring somebody who's been working in a garbage dump since the age of 11, and that to go on that journey from the biggest garbage dump in the world to the biggest red carpet in the world, nothing. I'm sort of, as a human being, there's nothing I'm sort of more proud of than that. And I really believe that whichever way you look at this, this is a really very, 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 very positive project. And I sort of feel like in the world today, how many worrisome things are going on, and it's a time when we're all forced, I think, to confront a lot of worry, a lot of uncertainty economically, I think, in this country in particular. So many people have had their rug pulled out from under them. And these people, the fact that they've managed to cope with the worst challenges that life can offer and emerge with such dignity and courage and spirit, that they sort of, they're the coolest people that we've ever, you've ever met. And they're just, it's so it's like a fire on a cold night, just the warmth and light that you get as a sort of human being from remembering how, with what, what humanity can truly be capable of. And so I feel really ennobled by this whole process, and the people, it's so empowering to get to know them. They're so empowered by the art. It's a really positive, it's the opposite of a vicious cycle. It's a very positive story. And I think it's hard to find that. And as I said, I'm a toughie. I'm not the person that marches around saying that my life got changed, by this, that, and the other. I'm always the one that, when someone says their life got changed, I look at them with a raised eyebrow and say, well, exactly how? You look like the same kind of a person that you're to me. So I don't buy the hype. But I must say, in this case, I think that audiences have responded so warmly because that something really warm is going on here.
Well, Lucy Walker, the film is Wasteland. It's a beautiful film and fascinating, and I can't encourage people to see it enough. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. You are. I'm such a fan of yours, so it's a real pleasure to be here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Lucy.
Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the Nets are gonna kick in, and my pilot light shining bright. I get somewhere the choice is made, for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I guess somehow I lost my drive.